With the Spirit of God, we will build relationships, lead others to Jesus, and disciple believers to be Christ-like. Today falls into the category of building relationships. What we're going to talk about today falls under building relationships, and we're going to look at Hebrews. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, so if there are Bibles, and you don't have to do it right now, but there are Bibles in front of you. We're going to be Hebrews chapter 10, so you can grab that in a minute. But let's ask God to help make sense about with what's about to be said, okay? Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. Help us to understand what you intended it to mean. And we know that you can do that. Make sense of about out of what I'm about to say. And I ask that you would send your spirit to each one of our ears and help us to know how it applies to our lives. And I ask that you would continue to use your spirit in my life. Amen. Okay, so today you're welcome to have a seat. We're talking about, do you want to stand up? We can stand up one more time if you want. The trampoline, yeah, up and down with no bounce. Today we're talking about why we worship together. And I've been doing this series of messages on why we. The first was why we pray. Then we talked about why we need faith. Last week we were privileged to have the leader of the Gideon camp. He came and spoke to us last week and told us how what the Gideons do around the world and how we can be a part of that. And I wanted to thank you all. We gave, was it $357 to the Gideons? That buys a lot of Bibles. That money goes straight to Bibles. So at $5 a piece, we bought almost 80 Bibles, 75, depending on which ones they do. But so thank you. So last week the Gideon speaker was here. This week is why we worship together. Meaning, why do we need to come together on Sunday morning? What this is not going to be is a lesson on why we should honor the Sabbath, which is very important. That's a different issue. I do know that one of the 10 commandments that God gave was to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So Sunday's a special day, which our Sabbath is Sunday. But we're not going to talk about why we should. We'll talk about that soon. Today is why we should come together. And I'll put it in one sentence, so if you happen to drift away or something else comes on your mind or your grocery list, you'll get it right here, okay? We come together to be strengthened in God and to strengthen each other. That's it. Do you want more, or are we good there? Just kidding. I've worked so hard on this. You have to have more. So where I find probably the key passage for today is in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And I think of the two big commandments God gave us. He says, first, you need to love me. God said that. Love God. The second is to love your neighbor. And in loving our neighbor, we want to pay attention to each other. So we come to this passage in Hebrews, and we see, well, the book of Hebrews is a letter. We're not really sure who wrote it, but it's a letter that was written to Hebrew, to the Jewish people. And in it, the writer says, basically has a series of lessons he's teaching them. The lessons go something like this. This is what Jesus did for you, so this is how you should respond. And then he'll tell another story. This is what Jesus did. And coming here to chapter 10, we see the same thing. He explains how Jesus, in one event, became the sacrifice that we couldn't do. So the Israelites would come every year and sacrifice their offering. They would take their animals or their wheat and pay the price for the sins they had committed in the past, is what they were doing. So every year I come and I'm reminded, I've messed up this year. Here's my offering as an atonement, which is a Bible word, but hopefully God will forgive me for what I've done this past year, and here's my offering to God for that. And then Jesus comes, and in one event, so we don't have to do it every year anymore, but in one event he says, I'm offering myself to forgive everything you have done and everything you will do. So the writer of Hebrews is explaining that to the people that he's writing, saying Jesus took away the need for us to every year come and try to make good on what we have done wrong. So he's writing this, and then we come to this passage here where he talks about us coming together. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, the writer says, so in view of what Jesus has done, he says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." That day means the day of Jesus' return. So he says, in view of what Jesus has done, let us encourage each other to do what Jesus did. We're going to do good for each other, and we're going to meet together regularly so we can spur each other on. That's the hope. Now, what I hear a lot, and I've never heard it out of anybody here, but one of the common things I hear when you talk to people who aren't regular attenders is that they're just so busy, they don't have time. Like, something came up, I just don't have time to do it. And my first thought usually is, it doesn't matter if there are 8 days in the week, you probably still wouldn't have time. And I hope you all don't forget that I have not been a pastor my whole life. I've always been involved in church, but I have not always been a pastor. But there were times where I thought, you know, do I really need to? I don't know. Well, I've got so much stuff to do. And when I worked for myself and I thought, well, I need to go do this and this, and nobody's going to get it done unless I do it, and so I've got to do it. And regardless of where you are in life, there are always reasons that I can come up with why I don't have time. But I guarantee you that adding another day to the week wouldn't make it any different, because then I'd find something to fill that too. So the writer says, in view of what Jesus has done, don't forsake, how does he say, don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. Meaning there are people who used to be in the habit of it, and they decided, yeah, I don't want that anymore. It's not important. And he's saying, don't be one of them, because we need to come together and encourage each other. Now, when he was writing this to the Hebrews and telling them, you need to meet together regularly, it was different than me telling you we need to meet together regularly, because we live in a free country and we have automobiles or bikes or nice paved streets. So when I say it's important to come to church on Sunday, most of us will think, okay, can I carve out 1.5 to 3 hours out of Sunday? When he was writing this to them, the thoughts that went through their head were, okay, I was a Jew, because he's writing to the Hebrews. I have decided that I am going to follow Jesus. So the people in my family that are still Jews and not Jesus people, well, they were still Jews, but they were Messianic Jews, meaning Jesus is the Messiah. Those people in my life are going to probably disown me. And then if I go worship with a group of people, depending on what part of the country you're in, there is more or less pressure to find these people and arrest them or kill them. And I don't get to drive my car anyways. I've got to walk. So wherever it is I'm going, I walk. So for me, thinking, can I carve out 1.5 to 3 hours on Sunday is different than who the writer is saying, I understand that there are repercussions for what you do when you come and worship God with Christians. In light of all that, still, don't forsake. He doesn't say forsake. I think that's the king. I've got some of this other language in my head, but don't neglect meeting together. So it takes away just about any excuse I would have had, not being in the position I'm in, but before, any excuse I could think of, like, well, why I shouldn't. Is my family going to disown me because I do this? No. Am I going to be arrested or killed because I do this? No. Do I have to walk 6 miles to get there? No. Okay. Well, they did, and he's saying, I understand, but you still need to do it. So that's what I tell myself, is that, well, there must be some good. Why is he telling me this if it's so important? And it is important. The first thing I think of is there are a few things that are eternal. Like, they start now, and they never stop. One of those things is worshiping God together. So when we get to heaven, we won't have to spend time praying, God, I want to see you. Show me who you are more. God, please heal my friends. God, please, I won't have to spend time praying in heaven. And you see where I'm going with this. I could come up with a list. For sake of time, I won't. But worshiping God is one of those things that we do now as a group. And when we get to heaven, we are going to continue to do as a group. So worshiping together is an eternal event. So if God thinks it's important enough to do in heaven, I need to remind myself that it must be something that I need to do here too. Because all the other stuff that I worry about now doesn't happen in heaven. And if worshiping God's still one of the big things going on, maybe I can do it here now and help rebuild the original way God created things to be, worshiping Him. So, I have some thoughts that if God asks us to do this, maybe He knows that worshiping together is good for us now. Possibility. So here's where I get to have fun. So now, instead of, I didn't Google this stuff this week because this isn't like Cosmopolitan or Inquiring Minds. What I'm about to give you are scholarly journals, and I have cited them at the bottom. So if you don't believe me, go read it yourself if you have access to the databases I do. Okay, so this is not People Magazine. This is academic scholarly journals, okay? So the first thing we see is, according to Health and Social Work, that's a journal, February 2008, and I've summarized it all here for you instead of reading it to you. What they did, of course, their surveys asked people a bunch of questions. What they found is the more often you attend religious services, the lower risk you have of depression. So the more frequently you come and participate in a group event of worship, the more you're connected to the people around you, the less likely you'll feel isolated and alone. That's what they said. Huh, go figure. These people are not Christians. Just want you to know that. Well, the health and social work is not Christian. Okay, what's the next slide say? Social indicators research, January of 2013. That was last year. The title is Loneliness and Self-Esteem as Mediators Between Social Support and Life Satisfaction in Late Adolescence. So that would be the people in the back there, them. That's who they researched because teens and college students are really easy to do research on because they're everywhere. But what they found is the more social support I feel in life, the more satisfaction I feel out of life. So people who are well connected with others around them and feel like they can go, they have a number of people to draw on for support, the more satisfied they will feel with, yes, I love my life. I have a good life. The opposite in this study was also true. The less I feel like I'm connected to people, the less support, the fewer people I feel like I can go to for help, the less satisfied I will feel with my life. Okay, I have one more for you. The last one is, people who have religious commitment to attending, so I'm committed to my group of people here, and I feel social support, which is what we've just been talking about, those people also have more life satisfaction. And that's in, of course, College Student Journal. They research college students because they're easy, and they have to do it for class participation points. But they're still people. So what we've seen here in these three things, these three research articles that are not Christian, I guarantee you that most college campuses don't care what God says about things. I'm not making that up. But they still found out that people who are connected to a support system, if I'm committed and connected to a group of people, I will enjoy my life more. Now there's a slim chance God knew what He was doing when He said, don't neglect meeting together regularly with people who love God. That's not because He wants to be controlling and manipulate everybody. That's because He knows there are things that go on in life that sometimes you need help. And you can't always do it by yourself. So the more people you have around you to help you do things, the better off you will be. Now we get to the bucket. Why is there a bucket up here? I think, let's see. Aaron, can I use you for a minute? Please. Thanks. So Aaron has this thing. I'm just making everything that's about to come out of my mouth, I'm making up right now. So this isn't real. But let's pretend like Aaron has this thing going on in his life that's really difficult. And every day he has to pick it up. You betcha. Just hold it. Every day when Aaron gets out of bed, he has to pick this up and hold it. He carries this around all day. Because, how much, I don't know, water weighs 8 pounds a gallon. So they're 4.5 gallons, so that's over 50 pounds there. So every day, Aaron has to pick this up and carry it around. Yeah, he's strong. 10 minutes later, not so much. So Aaron gets tired after a while. He's not tired now because he's buff and ripped and he works out and all that good stuff. But I guarantee you, that bucket's going to get heavy. And when it does, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, by about Friday, I'm like, good grief, is this thing ever going to get any lighter? Saturday comes around, I'm like, man, can I just get a break? And usually it's stuff in our head that we're dealing with. We carry these things around in our head. But you know what's so great about Sunday? You doing all right?
Yeah.
There's this other guy named Farron. Hi, Farron. Can I use you for a minute? That Aaron knows that once every 6 weeks when Farron's not at work, so this is one of those Sundays, yes, he can bring this thing. He's like, you know what? I've been carrying this around for 5 weeks now, but this is Farron's week off of work. And Farron can put a hand on this. Yeah, there you go. Oh. Well, that's better. So they can hold this thing together. You still doing all right? Feeling in no burn yet? Probably not, because you're big. That'd be my first thought was have him hold it out here like this, which he can't do. So we go along like this, and they think, yeah, I've got to carry this. You would think that they would have been a part of my message preparation. They can. And Farron says, you know, that's right. That is a pretty heavy load. And I'll do my best today. I've got another idea. There's another guy named Philip who's working in now. He's starting to work with the teens. Come on up. Come on down. You cannot dump it on Philip's head. No. So there's this other guy named Philip that he's here too, and I know he cares about you. There you go. And I think between the three of us, we might be able to make this load a little bit lighter. So you know what the right answer is, Aaron, but is that any easier to carry now than it was a minute ago? Oh my goodness. Thank you. You guys can have a seat. Okay. So what these researchers say is if I come on a regular, if I am committed to attending a religious service on a regular basis and I feel social support, I'll feel more happy with my life. I can enjoy life better. These are not Christians, people. Meaning that it's not like Christianity Today or the Barna Group is going out and researching. These are secular. That's why I'm like, huh. So we come to the book of Ecclesiastes, which is usually, oh, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Might as well jump off a bridge and die. That's Ecclesiastes. And he does that here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. At the end of this section, Solomon says, the one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken, which is what we just saw right here. I might not be able to carry this by myself, but if I have somebody else come along and help me, we can do that. And the difference between two and three is shown up here. There are a lot of things, but two pieces of cord you can't weave together. You actually wrap them around each other. When you get three pieces, you can weave them together. And when you get a group of people that you can intertwine your lives with, you'll have more strength. Ecclesiastes, I'm going to it. There we go. Chapter 4. See, the verse 8, thank you. Verse 8 says, there is one who is alone without a companion. That was Aaron just a minute ago. He has neither son nor brother, and there is no end to all his labors. Meaning, he just keeps going and going, and he feels like he's never going to get a break. His eye is not satisfied with riches, but he never asks. This is the Ben Munsey prayer phrase. Why in the world am I doing this? This is so much vanity and grave misfortune. So, there's this guy who's doing everything by himself and is not connected to anyone, and he says, why in the world am I doing this? Verse 9 is great. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. And then we come to verse 12, where it says, Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a cord of threefold is not quickly broken. And what Solomon was doing there when he was writing that, saying, I can live my life all by myself, not connected to anybody. And at the end of the day, I'm going to say, why in the world am I doing this? What is the point? But when I connect myself to other people, I have somebody to help me when I fall down. Now, there's some of us who like to think that we are capable of handling everything all by ourselves. And if you have to complain about, I don't know why people complain about their problems all the time. I don't want to go complain to anybody. I'll just deal with it. Great. You let me know how that works out for you. Speaking from experience, this, you know, the old Ben Munsey who was mean and a jerk, and I like to tell Carissa back then why everything she did was wrong, and if she'd just do it my way, and why can't you just do it yourself? And, you know, how I used to be, that's no fun. And she learned to love me even then, in spite of that, and didn't give up. And I learned that if I let her help me with some of these things, life's a lot more enjoyable. And I've also learned that if I let myself open up to some of you, life's a lot more enjoyable. Now, I can't say that I'm best friends with everybody in here, but I am getting to know you. And some of you, there are people that I look forward to seeing to on a Sunday. It's true. I have a crush. We had I have a friend, and I'm almost done here, but I have a friend from Columbus that I have two guys that are about my age that I think I could tell anything in the world to, and they'd still love me. One of them, he came over Friday night again, and we had our happy, you know, we hugged each other and snuggled and all that good stuff. But when I was at Columbus, there were days, sometimes Brandon and Rachel would go somewhere on a Sunday. And if they would tell me, like, we're not going to be here this Sunday, my response was always like, oh. I mean, I like a lot of people, but Brandon's different. Like, I can tell Brandon anything I want to tell him. And I know that if I need something, he's one of the few people that I will ask for help. And if something's going on, I'm like, I'll see Brandon on Sunday. And then Brandon's not there, I'm like, oh, I'm still alone. Even though there were 200 and some people there, generally, the way I work, I have a few people that I feel close enough to really share. And so what I was thinking is, what if I'm one of those people that somebody else looks forward to seeing on a Sunday? And we might not hug and slobber all over each other every Sunday, but there's somebody that I think, yeah, I'm going to go, and I'll say hi to them. And you know, sometimes even that, hey, how you doing? You know, guys are not the best about saying, man, I am so glad to see you. I've thought about you a lot this week. I'm just really glad you're here. I missed you. You don't hear that out of guys very often. But we think it. Like, oh yeah, he's here. What if there's somebody who's looking forward to seeing me, or is anticipating worshiping with me, and I decide for the next, you know, whatever, I think I'll go down to the creek and play in the water for a little bit. I'm trying to think of something that's not going to hurt anybody's feelings. We all have vacations. One of these days I'm going to take one too, so I'll be gone at some point. So I don't mean vacation. I just mean like, oh, I'd just rather, you know, those kind of things. And then I don't come, and then somebody who is looking forward to seeing me, somebody who might be able to help me carry my bucket, they haven't told me about it yet, but today might be the, carry my bucket. I'd rather whatever it is. They've got to carry it by themselves. That's not a guilt trip. That's reality. There were some times where Brandon and Andrew, those are my two guys. So there were some times where either Brandon or Andrew, I'm like, okay, I'll see them Sunday and I can talk with them about it. And if they aren't there, I'm not kidding you. It's one of those like, oh, man. And I don't want to be that guy on a regular basis that says, oh, you know, I'd rather do that. Because God's created us to be connected to each other. And there's somebody, I'm in somebody's life as one of those cords that's woven into their life to be strength to. So while worshiping God is intended to let God know how much we love him and how much we need for him, it's also an opportunity for us to not neglect coming together to be a support for each other. Not like we all need group counseling or therapy, not that way, but just, hey, there's my friend. There are people that I work with that I don't consider my friends. There are people here, wherever, that get on my nerves. But I know when Sunday comes, there's my friend. That's what it can be, and that's what our hope is. So when the writer of Hebrews says, don't neglect coming together, he's not saying, well, you need to come to church because there's something you need to work on. Some days that's it. But other days where I might come here with nothing on my mind, but somebody else is glad to see me. That's where he says we can be an encouragement and a support for each other. And my other question is, what if, so a cord of three strands is strong. What if we had a cord of 80 strands? Which is more like the picture there. That's not 80, but it's a lot. What if we kept building and had a cord of 200 strands? Don't think I'm crazy. What if we were capable of building a cord of 2,000 strands? There is nothing in this area that God couldn't use us to carry. And you all might, some of you might think I'm crazy, and I'm not. It's possible for God to raise up a people of his people that are willing to be intertwined with each other and to be a committed part of the group so that when something comes along, people know there is strength there. I can depend on that strength. And this is my silly little picture with that one person who's standing as a link between the chain. That without that one person, the chain would fall apart. Sometimes we have those people in our lives. We're like, oh, I need that. Some days, that's me. Some days, it's me looking for that person. And that's the same for us, too. I'm going to finish with just this one little blurb about church membership. I do not believe that being a member of a church gets you into heaven. And I do not believe that being a member of a church secures your ticket to heaven. But there is a place, and especially here, there is a place for people who say, you know what, I am willing to make that commitment that I want to be an integrated part. I want people to know they can depend on me, and I want to be a useful, active part of this church. In the Church of the Nazarene, it's called membership. And it's not just I'm going to join that church and okay, now I get to go to heaven. That's not it at all. It's a commitment to saying, hey, these are my people and I want to be connected. And I've talked with some people about this and just to let you know, just to put it out there, that if you decide, hey, I want to be an active part and I want to be a voice and where we're going, that's an option. And it's not something to take lightly. I don't want to get church membership just so we can show in our district reports, hey, we've had 10 members this year, because really I don't care. If we have 10 members but we're still the same body, what's the change? Nothing. But for people who, for me mentally, I know when I commit to something, I've committed to it. I've got to finish. I've got to follow through. And if you are considering that, I'd be happy to talk with you. Not because it's what good Nazarenes do. But it's what people who are committed to each other say, hey, I'm willing to commit to you and to you and to you, knowing that when I don't neglect you all, or when I make a commitment to come, we are supporting each other and strengthening each other. Does that make sense? Okay. So my hope is that this cord of, you know, 60 to 80, depending on what vacation day it is or if it's raining or not, which that's not a slam, that's just life. But this cord that we have now can be strengthened and can be a good part of the community, and we can be useful to each other. So Hebrews chapter 10 says, don't neglect coming together. And it says that because we need each other. You'll be happier if you do. Does that make sense? All right, stand with me if you will. We'll pray and close. This isn't one of those messages that lends themselves generally to people saying, you know what, I want to commit myself to serving God. But I don't ever want you to think that there's a right or a wrong day for that. There's always a right day. And if at any point you think, you know what, I want to let God know, I'm sorry, I want what you want in my life. Please forgive me and show me what you want me to do. If you want to do that today, I'll be up here for a few minutes and I would be happy to pray with you. But let's close in prayer. We thank you, God, for giving us your word. And it's my hope that all this stuff that's been coming out of my mouth for the last few minutes, that you've helped to make sense out of it. And you've shown me already this week how this needs to be a part of my life. And my hope is that you'll do the same for the people here, that you can help us be dependable, committed people to each other, so we know that no matter what goes on Monday through Saturday, Sunday morning we can come and worship with people that we love and feel strengthened. Help us to be that for each other, and we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. It's in the name of Jesus we pray this. Amen. Amen. Hope you have a good week.